From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. This is the Freeman Report on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the Freeman Report. It's Tuesday, the 19th of March, 2024. I'm your host, James Freeman. And as I've said, this is the Freeman Report on today's News Talk, TNT. Now, given that the show goes out at breakfast time, East Coast time, and lunchtime in the UK, I'm assuming that some of you are either eating already or are preparing some food to tuck into, or at least you're thinking about eating something in a bit. It's what most of us do three times a day. In fact, we take this for granted so much that it's impossible for us to imagine, to comprehend what it must be like to have this disrupted suddenly, to have the flow of food and clean water stopped in its tracks, and for a whole population to suffer famine in an accelerated space of time is just unimaginable for most of us. Now, normally famine creeps up on a population over time, and when food supplies for a population are affected suddenly because of a natural disaster or a war, for example, well, most of the time then relief supplies are brought in to the country. Gaza is different. As if it wasn't bad enough that more than 30,000 civilians have been killed by US bombs dropped by Israeli jets. As if that wasn't bad enough, water and food supplies have been deliberately restricted for months now. The bombs have flattened much of the territory's infrastructure. Half the population has been displaced and are now living in northern Gaza in an attempt to escape the bombs. And yesterday, senior UN officials warned the UN Security Council that famine is imminent in northern Gaza. And this isn't a new news story either. The UN Security Council was warned this was imminent on the 27th of February. And now, according to a new Integrated Food Security Phase Classification IPC report released yesterday, famine is now imminent and the entire population of Gaza is facing crisis levels of food insecurity or worse. The new report shows that 1.1 million people in Gaza, half of the population, have completely exhausted their food supplies and coping capacities and are struggling with catastrophic hunger and starvation. This is the highest number of people ever recorded facing catastrophic hunger by the IPC system, and double the number in what is classed as the IPC Phase 5 just 3 months ago. Some 300,000 people remain trapped in northern Gaza, where people have resorted to eating animal feed in desperation, and at least 27 children have died of malnutrition in the past couple of weeks as Israel has blocked the delivery of aid, supplies and food. The World Food Programme's Executive Director, Cindy McCann, says people in Gaza are starving to death right now. The speed at which this man-made hunger and malnutrition crisis has ripped through Gaza is terrifying. And there is a very small window left to prevent an outright famine. If we wait until famine has been declared, it will be too late, as thousands more will be dead. Now, we're told by the Israeli government that no war crimes have been committed and that this isn't genocide. And yet here we are, more than 30,000 civilians dead and over a million people now facing catastrophic hunger and starvation. It doesn't matter what religion you are, whether you're Christian, Muslim or Jew. There is no justification for this whatsoever. And yet Israel is not only carrying on as it was, but is now planning an assault on the northern territories in Gaza where people are trapped and starving to death. I don't care how terrible Hamas is. Nothing can justify what Israel has done and is now doing. Absolutely nothing. Yes, Hamas is a terrorist organization. I accept that. I think most people do. But the way the Israeli government is acting, it is now a terrorist organization in my eyes. How can you argue otherwise when it is literally starving a million or more people to death? Jewish people around the world need to say this loud and clear, out loud, because what is being done by Benjamin Netanyahu's administration is genocide. On the 31st of January, the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, found it plausible that Israel's acts could amount to genocide and issued six provisional measures. It ordered Israel to take all measures within its power to prevent genocidal acts, including preventing and punishing incitement to genocide, ensuring aid and services like food reach Palestinians under siege in Gaza, and preserving evidence of crimes committed in Gaza. Israel continues to prevent aid reaching the population. And yesterday, the head of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, Philippe Lazzarini, said Israel had blocked him from entering the war-torn and besieged Gaza Strip to see for himself what was going on. Anybody who continues to justify what is happening in Gaza is supporting genocide. That is the only conclusion that can be drawn based upon the facts on the ground. Right, okay, getting back to today's show. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest. I think it's really important. If you're Jewish and you're watching this, the actions of the Israeli government are not in doing Israel any favours whatsoever. We've had Ofer Kassif on this show, who has said that he is not speaking out against Israel when he calls for a ceasefire. He's speaking up in favour of Israel, because the way he sees it, if the Israeli government continues down this path, then, you know, it is no surprise that they are turning into a pariah state around the world. Anyway, back to today's show. My guests this hour are the founder of the Australian National Review and 21st Century U, Jamie McIntyre. And we're also going to hear from Stan and Dan from The Voice of Wales. We'll be talking about Vaughan Gething becoming the First Minister, and also about all of these settlements that are being built in Wales, which we're told were being built for one thing, but it looks like they're going to be used to house migrants. If you want to get in touch about anything I talk about on the show or to suggest a guest, then email me at jamesfreeman@tntradio.live. And to join in the conversation, head over to tntradio.live and click on the chat icon. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report for today's News Talk TNT.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I've been in the car all day and I got to listen.
Can't get enough of it.
You guys are doing a great job.
Today's News Talk Radio TNT.
Hi, Gemma. It really is, Gemma, very, very difficult, isn't it, to defend, even if you are Jewish and, you know, you can see that Hamas, the terrible things that it's done to your own people. It's difficult to defend what they're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I do think a lot of Jewish people see that. Absolutely. I think, you know, human beings first and foremost, aren't we? And it is horrendous scenes and such desensitizing types of scenes that we're bombarded with of what is actually going on. It's almost in too much to comprehend, you know, of just thinking about the scale and the magnitude of events in the Middle East and, you know, the powerlessness of your average person of what to do about it, except call it out and keep calling it out and keep calling it out. But then there's only so many times you can do that before you think, oh, my goodness me, you know, it just becomes this loop of despair. And God knows what the people in Gaza are feeling and going through. It's just, you know, it almost just need to take away a news hat, I think, when you're dealing with a humanitarian crisis like this and just respond to it in a human way. That's all you can do.
Yeah, and I think more people need to be doing that. We need to show some empathy because, you know, I was born in this country. I'm very lucky to be born in this country, but I could easily be born in any other country in the world. And obviously, they are being born there. They didn't ask for this. And when you actually kind of then, you know, empathy is all about putting yourself in their shoes and imagining what it would be like to be wandering around a bombed out city, hiding in fear of the bombs. And now there is not enough food, no water, people's dying around you, bodies in the streets. Just try and imagine for a second what that must be like. That is empathy, and that is what more people need to be doing. Instead of trying to justify it as Israel defending itself, I don't think you can do that when with what is going on the ground. Anyway, Gemma, I'm going to talk about it more in my second introduction in the second hour as well. So what other news have you got for us today?
Well, I won't dwell on the top story too long because I have discussed it at length with many other hosts on TNT today as part of my news roundup. And that, of course, is Kategate. It is dominating headlines in the UK. It's dominating headlines in the US. It's a story that you just can't get away from. And it's a story nobody can seem to solve at the moment, but it will be to be continued, I'm sure. You know, was it her in that grainy video? Was it not? I mean, there's so many conspiracy theories and facts and suspicion flying around, but something is a bit off about that story coming out of the royal family. A story which I touched upon earlier in the day with Sonia Poulton here on the UK TNT Breakfast Show. And that's this study that's been released by the American Heart Association Journal. And apparently they followed people for 20 years doing intermittent fasting. And the results, they say, are quite astonishing. I mean, you know, this does raise a conspiratorial eyebrow in my book, which is that if you do intermittent fasting, where you only eat for 8 hours a day and the extra 16 you don't eat at all, this is a diet favoured by many celebrities and Hollywood A-listers and people in this country and politicians as well. They swear by it. Apparently, you do this too often, you increase your risk of heart disease and a stroke, where's that sound familiar, by 91%. By following this diet, which has only been fashionable for a few years. It certainly hasn't been fashionable for 20 years. Nobody was talking about intermittent fasting back 20 years ago, but this American Heart Association has apparently followed people doing it for 20 years. Bit of a coincidence in this report out today, in this survey, I think, linking yet another thing to heart attacks and strokes. You know, you couldn't move a few years ago for everything linking you to heart attacks and strokes. And that does seem to be a theme still continued in the mainstream narrative. And talking of the mainstream, the BBC has been forced to apologise today. It called the newly reformed Reform Party in the UK, which are doing very well in the polls, it called them far right. Today it's issued an apology. It made the claims during a report on the Liberal Democrats spring conference. It was referring to Reform's success in the polls. Leader of the Reform Party, Richard Tice, who also does work on GB News and has pledged to get rid of the BBC licence fee should he win the election. He says the tactics used now by certain news organisations to smear my party and by implication myself are outdated. I will ditch the licence fee if I come into power. The claims the BBC made are both defamatory and libelous. And of course, far right is this umbrella term that is bandied about. And the BBC got into trouble with it last December for describing a political rally, which was attended by all people from the political spectrum, including Rishi Sunak. But it was the Italian prime minister, the Argentinian prime minister, many people, though, from across their political spectrum. No, the BBC dubbed that far right as well. And of course, if you're in the loosely kind of termed freedom movement of the last 4 years, you're defined as far right because you basically question narratives. So BBC has had to climb down on that. Other mainstream broadcasters did follow suit, calling the Reform Party far right. Reform Party leader says he's calling his lawyers and everybody had better watch out. Another use of that term, far right. Is it far right? Not far right, just right so far. I think that's the term we like using, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy what's happened over the past few years. And I mean, this all came in as well with Brexit. You know, anybody who voted for Brexit was clearly a racist, far-right supporter. It all came out there. I remember being campaigning for the general election in a town near me, and the Labour Party team came up and started calling all my team Nazis. So, yeah, absolutely ridiculous. Reform, they're barely on the right, actually. They've got a mixture of different policies. To call them far right is just absolutely ridiculous. 100% agree with Richard Tice there. On this thing with Kategate, it's bizarre, isn't it, Gemma? I mean, look, obviously the pictures and the videos were displayed by the Sun newspaper. It's just, I find it really odd, the fact that, you know, we were all calling for her to show her face or to put out a statement to say something. So presume to put the speculation to bed. So presumably that's why she's done this. And then the video and the pictures we get is just by a member of the public on a really grainy mobile phone. Was it set up? Of course it was. So who's this member of the public that got the photos? And I've looked at the video And, you know, I don't want to fuel any more speculation because, you know, I think there might be credibility to some of the arguments that actually this is just one big psyop to discredit a lot of the legacy media. Because if you look at all of to discredit the new media, because if you look at the legacy media, they're all backing up this ridiculous story about, you know, when it's totally normal for someone to edit photos in that way. She was just doing that. She's an amateur photographer. They've all backed that story, which I'm sorry, I don't know anybody who edits photos that way, where you cut up your family members and then put them back together like that. That's just, nobody does that. But the point is, obviously, the new media have been asking all the right questions about this. So is this a psyop just to kind of say, you can't trust them lot? You know, she's going to come walking out in a few weeks' time. Everything will be normal. And then they'll comment on all the ridiculous stories and questions that have been asked, which actually I think are very, very relevant. But it doesn't look like her in that video. I don't know. No. What do you think, Gemma?
First things this morning, I mean, I've had a few days off, so I haven't really engaged with the news. But as I was saying to Sonia Poulton earlier, I looked at the photo this morning, just glancing through the headlines. I thought, well, that's not Kate. Does not look, am I missing something here? You know, it doesn't look like her. I have watched the video since I saw the photo first, and I watched the video and I thought, well, maybe at a push, but you're quite right. You know, one member of the public, one grainy video. It was a farm shop. There would have been literally dozens of people there, all with phones. Everyone's got a phone. That was the only footage. It's a very weird story. I've been discussing it at length with TNT commentators this morning that wouldn't normally engage with stories about the royal family. It'd be we're not bothered, but there is something odd about this. There is something odd about the story, the way it's been presented. It's got gaslighting written all over it. It's got this kind of weird underlying narrative that no one can put their finger on, which keeps everybody on the back foot, and it is a massive distraction from anything else. It's the biggest story, you know, arguably after, you know, your editorial is the biggest story in the world, but this is also the biggest story, but for all the wrong reasons. It's distraction and manipulation on a global scale, certainly.
Yep, it is. But we need to move on. Maybe we can talk about it more in the second hour, because I have got more things to say about it. I find the whole thing both curious and absolutely ridiculous. I'm not normally interested in the royal family, but there is something going on. Maybe it's to do with the king. I don't know. And this is just a big distraction from that. Who knows? Anyway, talk to you again in the second hour of the show, Gemma. To the rest of you, don't go anywhere. We're going to got more guests. I've got Jamie McIntyre joining me after the show. We're going to be talking about big tech, online censorship, and all the other things that many of us are worried about at TNT. So don't go anywhere. Stick with me, James Freeman, on today's News Talk TNT.
TNT's Jason Allbourne.
What that sneaky World Health Organization, that private organization linked to the United Nations, is planning to do to take away yours and my medical sovereignty. Or pretending that they're not going to, of course, because it just so happens that they have got the ability to look into a crystal ball, see around corners, and tell us that there is yet another virus or disease or sickness coming for us. And the only way that we survive it is to do exactly what Tedros tells us to do, even though the man's not even a doctor. Can't even tell his own Ethiopian country on three separate occasions, goodness me, that they have had a cholera outbreak. Cholera characterized by acute watery diarrhea that, if not diagnosed correctly, can result in death. Well, on three occasions, Tedros's answer was, we didn't have good enough testing or testing available, so we didn't really know that it was cholera. That's the guy who's leading the world.
Weekends with Jason Allbourne on today's News Talk, TNT.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
A hoax about carbon dioxide in the climate has caused a global energy and economic disaster. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Right, well, I'm delighted to speak with my next guest. We're going to talk about a topic which I think really gets to the heart of our democracy, whether we live in a democracy. I am talking about free speech and the attack that it's coming under from big tech and our own government as well. So I'm delighted to welcome the founder of the Australian National Review and co-founder of 21st Century U, Jamie McIntyre. Hello, Jamie.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Listen, thank you for joining me on the show. Jamie, how much of a threat do you think big tech is to our way of life in the West? The fact that we think we live in a democracy, how much of a threat is it?
Well, I think people now, James, are starting to realize how much of a threat. Most people, we all grew up, I guess, believing that we lived in a democratic state and countries in the West, from Australia, America, Canada, you know, UK, et cetera. And we believe what was on TV to be true. Even though our parents told us not to believe everything that's in the newspaper, we kind of believed everything that's in the newspaper. So people don't know big tech was taken over by the deep state a long time ago. Intel Q contracts, most of the founders of big tech in the early stages were signed to Intel Q contracts, which, if you're not aware of that, basically CIA front organizations that if they ever speak out that they are controlled, or that they will lose all their shares, et cetera, people like Mark Zuckerberg, et cetera. So the deep state and CIA has had control of big tech for a long time, and they want that one to spy on us. That's why it was largely allowed to grow so much. And how many people do you know, James, will just post anything on Instagram and not really think? You're basically giving every bit of information away. But since COVID pandemic, you would notice in particular how dangerous they've become by censorship, claiming to shut down on misinformation. Yet they make sure the misinformation that vaccines, as an example, are safe, effective, and necessary is allowed to be spread far and wide. But if anyone highlights, well, maybe that's not the case, well, then you would be censored. People such as myself, you know, Australian National Review, I'm completely deleted off Facebook, Instagram, etc. Why are they so scared in Australia and other parts of the world to hear from people like myself as an independent journalist, that we've spent a lot of money to help warn people that these vaccines, as an example, are not so safe? We could have saved a lot more lives if we weren't banned and deleted, thanks to big tech.
And Jamie, I mean, a question that I find myself asking frequently is, you know, a lot of us have woken up over the past 4 years, I certainly have, to the fact that everything, all of our media is controlled. But I have also questioned, you know, but did this just start 4 years ago, or has this been going on for a very, very long time, this level of control? I mean, obviously, we've got these new technologies which have come down the road, which are more pervasive in our lives. They reach out and they collect. It's a two-way relationship now where they're collecting data from us as well as kind of presenting the narrative. But how much have things really changed, would you say, sort of, I don't know, since the Second World War? Has our media always been controlled by the deep state?
Yeah, it's a very good question. The situation now is perhaps more controlled than ever. Technology brings potential great benefit for humanity, such as Google was a great benefit. People access information. But then it can be used, you know, remember the motto of Google was do no evil. We should have knew straight away when a company has a motto, do no evil, that they speak in opposites, right? That should have been a big clue. So technology can be good or bad, just like AI could be great for humanity, but can also be used as an evil force. So I think it was easier in the past to, treat people like mushrooms, keep them in the dark and feed them BS, because the control of newspapers, you didn't require such. It was print media, so they only needed the control of that. So it was much easier to do. I refer to them as the globalist elites and their agenda for the one world agenda, totalitarian agenda, is what they realized by about 10 years ago with all the data that they were getting, that if they, by the year 2022, there would be a great awakening. In other words, if they didn't make their move before 2022 to try and clamp down on civil liberties and freedoms, too many people, thanks to the internet, would awaken and start to figure out that, hey, we've been lied to since World War II, actually before World War II, that what we've been told, the Western narrative that the West is good, et cetera, is a lie. And that's what the race has been, because it's this great awakening versus the great reset.
Jamie, we're going to take a quick break for the news headlines. It is a very, very short break. Keep that point in your head, because we're going to pick that up straight away in a second right here on TNT.
now.
Big news. TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. We're being warned to brace for an avalanche of new deaths in Gaza, not from combat, but rather starvation. The White House is refusing to admit whether it's still working with social media companies to censor speech it doesn't like. And the internet has been set alight after footage emerged of former US President Barack Obama paying a surprise, unannounced visit to British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak in London.
We're the pin-up boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Right, so Jamie, we've established that this is a race against time for the global elite, the cabal, to try and capture us before we all wake up. How do you think they're doing?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. I believe it's not going according to plan. I think you've seen them become desperate. They're rushing things. They're making mistakes. It's a pretty big move to think that it was ever going to work, their idea of taking over and global communism and shutting down the West and removing our civil liberties, militarized police force, the whole works. We've seen in the COVID lockdowns, etc. To think they could get away with it was a pretty big call, which suggests they had to be desperate to even try and make that move so quickly. But it's the creeping thing, the analogy of you put a frog in a hot boiling water in a saucepan, it'll jump out. But if you put it in cold water and slowly heat it up with a Bunsen burner over a period of time, the frog will stay there and boil to death. And we've seen people, gradually, the silent majority, we call it in Australia and probably the West, where they just tolerating, a lot of this woke stuff where it was all thrown in their face 10 years ago in one go, they go, this is ridiculous. But because it's been creeping, most people don't speak out because they've been conditioned. Don't speak out. You'd be called a conspiracy theorist, or your peer review friends might, you might be kicked out socially, et cetera. So people have been conditioned to not question. So I think their plans are in all sorts of trouble. I think we've seen what's happening with Russia taking a stand and a lot of people programmed not to like Russia, but the left was fooled to support Ukraine. With that, and I say the right politics were a fool to support Israel. They really don't realize that Israel's behind both, both the genocides in Ukraine, etc. So they've got a lot of people figuring it out rapidly. I think the cabal's in all sorts of trouble. The Federal Reserve they control, the printing press is broken. But it's not certainly time to celebrate. There's a lot of work to be done, but they hate independent media. That's why we're censored. But mainstream media is a pathetic joke, really. They're only propped up by these regimes, and the Western puppets are in all sorts of trouble. What we think in the West, James, is that people who watch CNN, BBC, etc., they think that that has sway now. The West is – who listens to the West? Who's listening to Macron, or should we call him Micron, when he's sending – they're going to send French troops to Ukraine? Who really – he's so insignificant now. The West is insignificant. The BRICS and Russia and China and Iran, the majority of the world, they are powerful. And so the West can yap all it likes, but it's a declining power. And unfortunately, I don't think Trump can save America. I think America's too far gone. But let's hope and see that it can be saved. But we're seeing in real life time the end of the peace since World War II, the last 70-odd years we've lived in what was in the West very good times. But that's certainly going to change.
And do you think, when I've spoken to people who grew up in Eastern Europe, they talk about the media there being very, very a different kind of entity to what we see media, which is supposed to be informative. The way that they say it is, look, the government tell the media what to say. The media project that message. And that is almost used as a line in the sand. This is what the narrative is, and this is what you're not allowed to deviate from. So it actually becomes more of a warning to the public. It kind of, it's like, this is the government line, and, you know, how dare you to transgress that? Nobody in those communist countries believed what the government was saying. And so it was used in a very, very different way. Do you think there's a possibility, actually, that that is the way we're going?
Well, I think what people saw in a communist state is that the state controlled the media, you know, and no one trusted it. What we have in the globalist world is the globalists own the media or influence it largely, and also they own the politicians in the Western puppets. So they give you two choices, okay? Other than an anomaly like Trump or Robert Kennedy Jr., you only ever get two choices in the Western countries, and they both must bow before Lord Rothschild, bow before Israel. Find me a Western politician that will not say we must stand with Israel. So point is that the globalist elite control both politicians and the Western political system and the media. They used to use the media to keep the politicians in line. The politicians are scared of the media, right? But now, notice since COVID pandemic lockdowns, they work in lockstep. It's like this, it's obvious now that the globalists control both. They work in lockstep now, where it's no different to communism controlling the media. It's the globalists control both. Effectively, it's the same thing.
And, you know, a lot of we discussed, the difference now between, you know, social media with big tech and in the old times when you just had the print press and, you know, the TV stations, news stations, they're obviously collecting data on us now. So we think that social media is a great place for freedom-loving people to organise, to share our ideas and to try and push back. You know, I question that. And I wonder if actually we should get rid of social media. What are your thoughts? Do you think it can be useful, or do you think this is literally their tools which are being used against us and actually we should all stop using it altogether?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, James. I just finished reading the book, The Ugly Truth About Facebook, and the story of Facebook. It's written by a left-wing author, so he's a little bit biased, but I mean, credit to Mark Zuckerberg, he tried to defend against and the right for free speech. So, and defend, you know, so they didn't have to be the centrists. But obviously when the deep state's involved and they control you and you the government says you must do this, you run out of options. So I think initially like the technology and social media was a chance for people to learn so much. But we've seen with Facebook, I call fascist book or fake book or Instasham, I mean, they censor, they delete us, you know, and, you know, doesn't matter how many followers you have, you delete it. Now, thanks. And then Elon Musk has come along, obviously, and bought Twitter. He's put money where his mouth is. And I think Elon, you know, like everyone, is awakening to how the world really works. Not everyone's got all the jigsaws figured out yet. You know, he took four vaccines before he figured out they might not be safe. But he's a very intelligent man. He's put a lot of money into buying Twitter. And he said, that's to defend free speech. And so far, he's been congruent in what he says, whether, you know, I know some people don't like Elon, but we've got to let him, you know, if someone says something and backs up with action, that's the only way to really tell if someone's going to deliver. So I think, so you see something like what X is becoming or Twitter, then that can be very good for society if it's not censored. But if we see what the Facebook path that's going, you know, see them now, they're trying to force Israel to be able to buy TikTok in America. That's because they don't like what's being shown on TikTok because they don't have full control over it. They don't like people seeing that what's happening in Palestine and what Israel's up to and being a very bad citizen. So, of course, they need to control TikTok, ban it or buy it in America because there's too much free speech getting out on that. So I think it can be a great tool or technology to help humanity. But we must ensure it's not in the hands of evil people, that the deep state's trying to get control of this or has a large amount of control of it. I think, we've got to give credit to Elon Musk with X, because that's giving independent media a platform where we would delete it from the others. So, and that's why you see it growing so rapidly now, where Facebook, et cetera, and them are struggling as far as user growth.
Fascinating stuff there, Jamie. And I did want to talk to you about Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan, but we have run out of time. So maybe if you're happy to come back on, I would like to talk to you about that. I know you've been talking about that on X, and you know, he's Jamie Dimon is saying there's going to be a big financial crisis. Obviously, we're seeing the de-dollarization and all of that. So Jamie, please do come back on in the next couple of weeks so we can have that conversation, because I think that's going to be a big one for this year. Potentially. Thank you so much, Jamie McIntyre, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Yeah. Right, okay, we're going to take a quick break now. And when we come back, I'm going to be joined by the voice of Wales, Stan and Dan. We're going to be talking about Vaughan Gething becoming the First Minister of Wales, and also about all of these settlements that are being built in Wales, which we're told are being built for one thing, but it turns out actually they're going to be housed with illegal migrants. So don't go anywhere. Stick with me, James Freeman on TNT.
Sometimes life can be overwhelming, and suicide may seem like the only way to relieve the pain. Beyond Now is an evidence-based app created by Beyond Blue to help you cope when suicidal thoughts start to appear. You can use it to create an easy-to-follow plan that is personal to you and includes steps like know your warning signs so you can act early, make your environment safe by removing harmful items, activities you can do or people you can be with to distract yourself from suicidal thoughts. Reminders of things that make you feel strong. Some of these steps might be tough to fill out, and that's okay. It can be helpful to make or share your safety plan with a trusted friend, family member, or mental health professional. You might feel like you're alone, but help is available. If you're worried you can't stay safe, use the red telephone icon to call your emergency contacts. Download the free Beyond Now app today to create your personal safety plan.
One scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
I'm relying on luck, but who knows if it'll be on my side.
When it comes to disasters and emergencies, it's not a matter of if, but when. Take control. One, assess your needs. Two, make a plan. Three, engage your support network. Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell.
The conversation continues with James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Right, well, I'm delighted to be joined on the phone now by Stan from Voice of Wales. Hello, Stan.
Hello, how are you, James?
Yeah, I'm very, very good, thank you. And you've been a busy boy, haven't you? You've been doing a lot of investigations, you and Dan, over the past couple of weeks. Let's start with that, these settlements that are being built. Tell us all about them and what they're going to be used for.
Well, it depends who you listen to. There's a flat denial from the Home Office, from the from the Welsh Government and from Cardiff Council. But the people on the ground are saying, what are they talking about? The settlement in Grangetown, and this is people that have moved in, are in their own words, they're asylum seekers from Sudan, Somalia, Afghan, Pakistan. And we've done some video drone footage above it, and it's a massive site, James.
Yeah, I've seen the video. It is a big site, isn't it? So what are the Welsh Government saying that these are being built for then?
Well, this is the conundrum. The problem, as you know, if we put in a freedom of information, it'll take 50 or 60 days,
yeah,
and then the story's gone, which is what they do. But why would a senior council officer say, go and speak to the Home Office if it's to deal with homelessness in Cardiff? What's the Home Office got to do with it? So there's your first chink of light. And all I can surmise is that people that are getting off the boats, the dinghies, and are sent to Wales are seemingly being fast-tracked into housing. Therefore, once they get their paper that they're staying, they can apply for, say, a passport, and then they are technically British citizens, aren't they? Even though a year ago they were probably on a boat.
Yeah, I mean, for me, look, I think There are a lot of people that are already here. Obviously, we're aware. How many was it last year? About 70,000, I think, that came across illegally on boats across the English Channel. So we have got a problem. Obviously, we've got lots of migrants staying in four-star hotels across the country. So something needs to be done. I guess what we want, isn't it, is some transparency, Stan.
Exactly right. And of course, a prime minister with a backbone. It's quite a simple matter, as far as I'm concerned, to withdraw from the UN Global Compact, from the United Nations definition of refugee, because everyone says that it's out of date, but nobody will then now improve it. So until it is improved, withdraw from it. And of course, there's the evil and wicked ECH, European Court of Human Rights, which we need to withdraw from again.
Yeah, why do you think the Welsh government is not being transparent with the Welsh people about what's going on there? Why do you think that is?
I cannot grasp. I can only think that he's trying to do a Biden, which is to import the votes. As you know, there's a problem with voting in Wales. The people that did go and vote in historic numbers, of course, wanted Brexit. And Mr. Drakeford, Gethin, Jeremy Miles, Uncle Tom Cobley and all will never forgive those people. So they're trying to get a more loyal bunch of voters, I suppose. And we've dubbed them the new Welsh. You know, you can get grants for opening mosques up in Swansea, in particular, in Cardiff, but you can't get grants to make a house habitable.
And what about the people in Grangetown? Have you spoken to any of them? Do they know what's going on here? What are they being told?
Right. So the people themselves, we've not actually seen people that actually live there, but we've had hundreds of messages saying, I live there, and you're right, it is this, or I live there, and the place is horrendous because of the crime, not just in Grangetown, but in that specific area, you know, the Cardiff Bay area. And of course, they're linking this, we are not, but they are, to new incomers that have swamped that area.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem to me. I mean, look, you spent many months down in Llanelli. You won that case, or the local community did. That's where you're standing as a candidate with UKIP, isn't it? I'm not convinced that concentration of people in one place is the right way forward. You know, we've seen a lot of northern cities in the UK where we've had huge amounts of immigration over a very short period of time. And essentially what's happened is there's been no integration. This is part of the problem, isn't it? But I think at a minimum, the Welsh government should at least be transparent with the local people, which clearly they're not doing at the moment. Stan, we've also got another big news story, haven't we, from Wales over the past week. Vaughan Gething. For our international viewers, tell us who Vaughan Gething is and tell us about what your thoughts are of him becoming First Minister.
Well, for your international guests, you'll all know that Wales got the wooden spoon on Saturday, and we got two of them because Vaughan Gething was elected. The man that has questions, he points fingers to people in the Conservative Party to say they should give back money, but he flatly denies having money from an environmentalist, £200,000, and that company has, of course, been convicted of pollution, an environmental company convicted of pollution, and of course people want that money paid back. But he's got Mr. Gethin has got, as far as I'm concerned, about 10 items that he needs to deal with and needs to deal with quite urgently. And all of those 10 items involve listening to people. So the economy, which he was a minister of, is flatlining. We need the M4 relief road as a matter of urgency. Industry is telling us that we need better transport facilities across Wales because we're now losing out to England. On top of that, you've got the 20-mile-an-hour blanket cabal, where people say, yes, we agree with 20 miles an hour around schools, around hospitals, and around on narrow roads, narrow villages, but nothing else. And so that needs to be reviewed. The net zero needs to be reviewed because, of course, we're going to lose thousands and thousands of jobs in Port Talbot. Gethin has already got the ability to point the finger at Westminster, but it was Ed Miliband that brought in the energy tax, the energy levy, and that needs to be got rid of in the hope that we make coke furnace steel here in Wales affordable. But there's lots of other stuff as well that we could go on about. There's the number of 36 new assembly members. Everybody yeah. that I've spoken to, except the Labour Party and Plaid, are against it. They're saying that this money could be spent better locally. And of course, you've got Forgotten Wales, you've got the Welsh farmers and their massive dispute with the Welsh government. So the time has come for Gethin to stop dictating and start to listen to people across Wales.
Yeah, they really have got a very poor record, haven't they? Of course, the Labour Party have run what was the Welsh Assembly, now the Welsh Parliament, for the past 20 years since it was set up after devolution. And they really have got a terrible track record, haven't they, Stan? I mean, you know, that relief road that you're talking about there, I did talk about it on the show the other day. Consultation started for that in the early 1990s. They went on for, you know, more than a decade. In the end, they spent £150 million just on the consultation work, on buying up land. As you know, land that cannot be used for anything else. It's marshland, it's protected. If they're not going to build a road on it, it cannot be used for houses or anything like that. So the Welsh government has purchased all of this. And then what did they do? They went and declared a climate emergency and then just scrapped the whole thing. You know, that is the kind of financial management we've seen. Yes. So, yeah, he's got lots of challenges, hasn't he, Vaughan? How popular do you think he is in Wales? Is he as popular, or I guess you could ask, is he as unpopular as Mark Drakeford?
He's only popular in the Unite Union and the Labour Party. I think he's not, how can I put it? He's not great with people. He might have a face that's always smiling, but anyone can smile, can't they? It's action, and as Churchill said, action this day. We need to get out of this recession in Wales, and the only way we can do that. If you're going to build a freeport in Port Talbot or near Port Talbot, but then you're going on roads that take you 2 hours to get out of Wales, yeah. How are you meant to sell that to the rest of the country? We've got to have an integrated system, transport system, and it starts with the relief of the M4. Has to be.
Absolutely. Anybody who commutes in and out of Wales regularly will know that part of Wales. It's when you come into the southeast of Wales. It's where most people live in Wales, in the southeast. You know, I think it's more than half the population, 3.2 million. Half of that total population live in the southeast. It's where a lot of the economic activity goes on, and you spend. You know, if you do that commute, you can often spend an hour just sat in traffic every single day. Yes. It really is a joke, really. Is there any indication at all that Vaughan Gething is going to listen on the 20 mile an hour restriction, which they brought in, which Mark Drakeford brought in, what, less than 6 months ago?
What I believe, James, is they're going to do a fudge. They're going to say to you and I, oh, it's up to each individual local authority to have a look at it. But it's a complete mess now, James. Anyone that ventures into Wales, you can see greyed out 20-mile-an-hour signs. You can see greyed out 30-mile-an-hour signs. It's the same colour grey. The question is, who's painted them? And so you could genuinely be trapped, get a speeding ticket, and it's not your fault. you also go across speed bumps, which are a nightmare for HGV drivers, and they're blanked out as well, so you don't know what you're hitting. It's really genuinely confusing.
It is confusing. I mean, I must admit, you know, there's not signs on every single road. And sometimes I'm a bit confused about whether actually this is a 30, because not, it's a blanket, but then it's not clear where that blanket lies and where the dividing lines are, because, you know, some of the roads I've seen, which you think, oh, is this a 20? And actually it's a 30, 40, and then other ones is a 20. So it's become very, very confusing for drivers, I think. Like I said, I'm kind of waiting to the point, I haven't been caught yet, but I'm kind of waiting because, you know, they're saying that if you're doing over 26 miles an hour, then you're going to get a fine and points on your license, which that's not 6 miles an hour. There's not a lot in that. That's walking speed. So drivers, beware. Tell us about your campaign, Stan, because, of course, you're standing with UKIP. You're standing on the platform of all the reporting, the great reporting you did in Caerphilly, where the Home Office were trying to put 300 illegal migrants. How is your campaign going? What are people saying on the ground?
The people are saying on the ground that they liked what we were doing. They believe that we're honest reporters. And that's those two things are very good. But I'll give you listeners a scoop today. The reason why I'm in a camper van is because we have got footage, and we put it out last night, of fights that are almost a daily occurrence in schools in Llanelli that are housing a large number of foreign youngsters, and that those mainly boys are beating up other school kids. And we're going to interview somebody today whose child was beaten up and is at the centre of that video, and she's been excluded from school for her own safety. What? Not dealing with the person that's done it, but dealing with the victim, and they've excluded her for her own safety. And that's absolutely... we'll expose that today, later today.
Yeah, Stan, we have run out of time. Otherwise, I think we would have talked more about that. Maybe you can come back on the show in the next couple of weeks with Dan as well. But quickly tell people where they go to look at that report.
Oh, no, you've caught me on the spot. It's Voice of Wales, and it's usually mainly on our Facebook page. So just look up Voice of Wales. You'll see the group. Go on there. And you'll find that report.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Stan, from the Voice of Wales. Keep up the great work, Stan, and we'll have to catch up at some point and have a pint somewhere in Wales. Thank you. Right. Okay. So, what is more is there to say about that? Absolutely ridiculous that the children that are actually getting beaten up are actually being excluded from school, because obviously it'd be racist to do anything else. I presume that is the line that officials are taking. Anyway, this is the end of the hour of this show, but don't go anywhere. Stick with me, James Freeman, for the second hour of the show in just a moment.